Welcome to the Brilliant Breakthroughs Business Podcast. We're so happy you're here today to learn about how to create fresh perspectives on profitability, people, productivity, and finding peace in your small business. Today, we're going to dive into the people performance pillar. This is all about people and how they impact everything about your business. I'd like to say hello, business rock stars. My name is Maggie Mongan, and I am your host for today. I'm a tenured master business coach, trainer, strategist, and I've been doing that for almost 20 years now. I am a small business thought leader and CEO of Brilliant Breakthroughs, Inc., which is a coaching practice that specializes in optimizing your business performance and leadership so you can shine brightly. I'm all about improving the underserved small business sector, and I honestly believe small businesses are the accelerant of our economy, so much so that I ended up founding a number one best-selling business book series for small businesses. But don't worry, we'll share more about that later. Most importantly, like all good things that come to fruition, I didn't do it alone. I invited tenured experts to join me with the authoring process. And today we have with us one of our tenured experts, number one best-selling business author and number one international best-selling author, Mark Bader. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, Maggie. Thanks for having me aboard.
Oh, we're so happy that you're here today and about to drop some really great wisdom. And everyone, it's important for you to know who Mark is because he helps businesses of all sizes secure indispensable key talent. And we'll be talking about that. So he does this so they can have a team of professionals truly deliver the business to the next levels. Mark, you're a little bit of a rock star, aren't you?
Well, I'll accept that. I like that. Yeah.
I threw that one at you from the side. So no, that took you a minute. Okay. So let's talk about this. You wrote a really great chapter in volume four. And volume four in our book series is the Amethyst Purple Cover. And the book is titled Brilliant Breakthroughs for the Small Business Owner. The subtitle really is where all the juice is. And that is fresh perspectives on profitability, people, productivity, and finding peace in your business. Your chapter was the second one in volume four. And your title just rocks. It's Uplevel Your Business by Replacing Uplevel Your Business by Replacing Irreplaceable Employees. Move to indispensable key talent for ultimate success. Love it, love it, love it. And I think your chapter could be like the rock star chapter in our book because everything right now coming out of the pandemic is all about people, right?
Right, exactly.
Everything, you know, how do we get them to produce? How do we get them to feel loved? How do we get them remote? How do we get them in the facilities? I mean, it's all people centric right now. Right. And what you're talking about, Mark, is how to get the right people. And that's different than just people, because if you have the right people, some of that stuff is going to be very easy to tend to. And if you don't have the right people, it can be a sheer nightmare, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. I'd like to ask you some questions and sort of do like a rapid fire here. Oh, we have the furry friends in the house.
I have a furry friend in the background. Yep. I think there's some deer in the backyard, but we'll try to ignore him. I'm here alone right now.
Okay.
I don't have a way to deal with them at the moment.
Other than being a furry father.
Yeah.
That didn't come out right. let's dive into this, Mark, because I was sincere when I said people really need to know who you are. And we'll see if we can work with that for a little bit.
Okay.
Mark, what are you known for?
I'm known as a connector. And when I say connector in a number of capacities, I put on networking events. The next one is coming up in about a week, which is one of the first ones coming out of the pandemic, which is a hybrid event, which will be some people, a lot of people online and about 45 people in person. That event is, again, a Warhorse quarterly, but I also have, there's a coaching component to that. I also am a connector in that I have a large network, and I pretty much do all of my business via my connections, whether it's, I'm an executive search consultant, so it means I recruit, and most of my candidates come from my network. Also, most of my clients come from my network. People know what I do. I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm very careful to make sure that people really understand what value I can bring to either a company or to an individual who's in a job search. Finally, when I say I'm a connector, I'm a person who makes a lot of introductions to people at no cost whatsoever. And that has been really important in building my network. I'm very generous about those introductions. And so what happens is those people remember that and always feel a little bit of obligation. So things happen to me that are really good simply because I built a large network. We're not talking about that right now, but I could talk about four or five things that have just happened in the last 5 years. Everything happened right in place at the right time when I needed it to most, and it was all because of my network. So when you ask about what am I known for, it's being a connector.
And I agree with that. That's how Mark and I met years ago and then reestablished our relationship a couple of years ago. And everyone, at the end of the episode, I'll share the other episodes that Mark has done where you can hear that story, because he gives great tips of explaining how to do this and the power of it and the value it brings to you and your business. So thanks on that. Mark, how the heck did you get started in all of this?
Well, interesting. So the first part of my career, I was a sales guy. I went to school at UW-Milwaukee, went to grad school. Everything was involved with communication or organizational communication. I got out in the sales field, found my way back in the mid-90s into the staffing and recruiting industry. I spent about 10 years on the sales side until a flash of insight told me that, you know, I could always find clients who needed people and help, but the hard part was finding the right candidates. And so I began my, my journey as a recruiter. First of all, originally in that staffing world, and when I say staffing, I'm talking about finding people to work on a contract basis for a 3 to 6 month contract, usually for a specific problem that a company needed to deal with and have out of the way. And then they would, you know, contractor would be there for a certain amount of months. Again, over time, what I came very, very clear to me was that a lot of those same clients were also looking for people for full-time employees to hire people, sometimes with slightly different backgrounds, sometimes the same backgrounds. And I thought that, well, you know, this is one thing I learned as a salesperson. You always should be selling or marketing where your feet are located. And that means if you're standing in front of a client or sitting with a client, you should talk to them about their other needs and other problems that you might be able to solve. So one thing led to another, went from the recruiting side, eventually over into the, or I should say the sales side, over into the recruiting side. And then about 12 years ago, somewhere in that neighborhood, I moved out on my own to be an independent. And so that turned into, you know, started out with a company called Mark Bader Recruitment. Later on, the name was changed to Warhorse Executive Search. And that's how I kind of got onto the recruiting side. And then there have been a number of other business opportunities that have come through those things. I was an early adopter on LinkedIn. Again, goes back to my whole importance of networking. I learned to use, I have been on LinkedIn for over 17 years, learned to use it early as a tool, and I've been using it ever since, along with a whole lot of other tools.
Right. And we talked extensively about that in episode 185. So this is really exactly. Great.
Uh-oh, here comes one back from the groomer and the other one chasing. Excuse me, boys. You have to go back and find your mom. You have to go back and find your mom. Thank you. This is the beauty of working from home during a pandemic.
I love it. It's real.
Okay, yep, exactly.
We can roll with it. And everybody, yep. The good news is now that the newest member of the family will be hushed right. For a little bit.
Exactly. Hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, very much like many entrepreneurs, we take what we have in our background and we meld it into our next foray, right?
Correct.
So I just loved your story and it seems very practical to me. And let's dive into the next question because you and I have this really cool thing in common. I was an executive search consultant for about a decade and had a blast doing it. And your whole concept of how you approach talent is what I know to be true is the best way for organizations to do this. So can we dive into one of those questions?
Sure, absolutely. I'm ready.
Okay. All right. So what is, you know, in your chapter, you talk about indispensable key talent. You define it there. We've discussed that in the other episodes. And at the end, I'll share all those episode numbers. But what is it that characterizes a person as indispensable key talent?
Well, there's a number of things that characterize them. The first thing, though, that I would say in all cases, doesn't matter the functional area, whether it's technology, accounting, HR, engineering, manufacturing, doesn't really matter. Irrespective of the functional area, they are people that get shit done. And when I say that, I'm not trying to be funny. The point is, people know what that means. It's a person that they see the world as a series of problems. And what they do is they have certain skills that they can use to apply to solve those problems. So, and then when you ask the question of, you know, what they have in common, that's kind of the end part of it. But the early or what characterizes them is the way that they think. As I said, they see the world as a series of problems. They see those problems many times as a concrete thing. And they really operate many times right at the margin of strategy. They might not be a VP. They might be a director, a senior director, but they operate at the margin or the intersection of strategy and tactics. But they also have the capability to take all of that and funnel that down and implement and execute. And that's the really important piece of it. Whether it's on an ongoing basis or whether it's on a project basis, they have that capability to really see the big picture and then boil it down into behaviors that can be utilized to help a company grow. And that is the other thing that's important about these people. They understand that they're business people. They understand that they're part of their role at that company is to help the company grow. The other thing that's very similar with a lot of these people who I consider to be indispensable key talent, almost inevitably, at some point, they will decide to either go out on their own or potentially become a consultant or something like that because the structure within a company, it doesn't allow them to really do their best work. So I always talk about, you know, key talent of that type. You have about a 3 to 4, maybe 5 year window when you can get the best out of them for your company before they have to move on. Either they have to move on to a larger company or something more complex where it'll challenge them, or they decide to leave and go out on their own and start their own company or work as a consultant. So it's that type of person, that independent thinker, who knows how to actually integrate their thinking with a company, right? But because they bring a different thought pattern and a way of looking at the world, they can really bring value to a small to mid-sized company because many times a small to mid-sized company has a lot of people who have been there for a long time and there tends to be groupthink. You bring in one or two of those other people coming in from the outside, and they bring a whole new world of thinking to you and also opportunities.
You know, I like that you brought that last part in, because this is somebody who gets things done. This is somebody who has a different way of thinking and experiencing how to make things happen. And I love that. Strategy meets tactics, and implementation and execution are what they're known for. So on the outside, everybody sees the implementation and the execution, but they don't understand the inside is like what you said, how they think, how they process, and what they can make happen. And to other people who are not indispensable key talent, they think that's all obstacles and it stops them dead in their tracks. But to them, it's totally different. This is like change agents. Change agents do this and they do something else, but it's just like a really cool way to do this. So if you run across somebody who's like this, you are in a unique situation as a small business owner to start building relationship with them, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. So the next question I have for you is, if all of a sudden we're in a conversation with somebody and we realize that they may be indispensable key talent, how do we engage with them?
Well, first of all, one of the things that I do as far as, you know, as a search consultant or recruiter, when I talk to companies about this, I say, you can't be focused on just-in-time recruiting or posting and praying and hoping that you might get the best candidate in the world when you happen to have a position. The way that you do it is you start to cultivate a relationship with people like this.
Yes.
Sorry about that. You cultivate a relationship with people like this over time. And, you know, one of the reasons that you want to do it and you want to do this with multiple people is find people who would be a good fit for your organization and the types of problems you're likely to have now or in the future. Because sometimes those people are not ready to make a move for 2 or 3 years. And you might not be, your company might not be in that shape. So you start to cultivate that marketplace and relationships with people like that. Because what you want to do is really do a good job of qualifying, understanding those people, the kinds of problems that they solve in the real world, and how they could do that for you. And so it could be that you'd start developing that relationship 6 months or a year in advance. Or also that you could do as a company. In other words, lots of big companies have talent management. It's harder for small companies to do that, to have talent management, talent acquisition. It's harder for them to have all those kind of roles, but you have to have somebody focused on it. And then if you don't have the capability or the resources to do that on your own, then you engage someone like me who does that every day. Uh-huh. I have been doing that every day for about 25 years. And so what I do with companies is develop a plan. What are the kinds of people? And so one of the things that I tell people is, I'm not going to be just looking for people that you might need because you have a, you know, you're looking for a software developer. Could you go find one? No, I'm going to say, I want you to tell me about the business. I want you to tell me about where you need to be in 4 to 5 years. I need to understand the kind of personalities and mindsets that you need so I can go out to the marketplace, find those people. And I probably already know some of them, but I can then also introduce some of those people to you. Again, you may or may not be looking to hire someone like that immediately. But the whole point is, if you don't do this all with some level of intentionality and proactive and planning, but all do it like most companies do, that it's very reactive. Uh-oh, Mary over in accounting is taking a job at some other company. We have to go out and find another accountant. Well, the other way of going about that would be to, you know, have one person in your company who is focused on connecting, building relationships with people all across the functional areas every day. That's what they do. So that when the time comes that Mary, the accountant, is leaving, they already have 10 different people that they could potentially reach out to. All of them are probably working. None of them are in a job search. If you put the posting out on your career page, nobody's likely to answer to it or not enough. But if you already know the people up front in advance, all you have to do is pick up your phone or reach out to them on email or text message and say, hey, remember when we talked last year about opportunities at XYZ company here? I think we might have the best opportunity for you right now. Let's talk for a little bit. You know, and it's all about conversations. It's all about relationships. It's not about being transactional and saying, we have a position, we want to hire you, are you available? But rather, hey, remember when we talked a year ago and you said that if you were going to make a move from the company where you're at, this is the kind of thing that you would be looking for, right? And so now you have some history. You know enough about them to say, I think we have that opportunity. And if we don't, we can create it. We can tweak it to make it into the opportunity you're looking for. So, okay. And that's that whole thing about developing a plan and an approach to take to your marketplace, wherever that is, and whether that's on a national basis or more localized to a part of the state or a city or whatever, but to develop that almost as a marketing function, that you're going out to people and actually building that relationship, letting them know who you are and about your company.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying, Mark, because I have always found that if a business owner has an understanding where they're at and what they're trying to make happen in their business in the next year, 3 years, even 5 years, they have an intention. And when they have that intention, they can get proactive and they can be planning ahead and always find the fact that there's this opportunity and we might find people ahead of when we think we need them. That doesn't mean we have to bring them aboard. That means we should just start building relationship.
Exactly. And hold on one moment. Let me mute this for 1 second.
Yes. Okay. Mark's getting the reinforcements right now. So we're going to wait for him. His fur baby came back. And I'll continue because the one thing that I really want you to understand as a small business owner is the importance that you should always be looking for indispensable key talent, especially if you don't need it right now, because it's the relationship building that's going to make the difference over time. So when you do reach out and you're ready for that opening and you reach out to them, they're going to say, oh yeah, let's meet. Let's find out what you're up to. They're much more engaged at that point. And to Mark's point, the reactive marketplace, the reactive talent that you put up a post saying, hey, I need somebody, may not be the best talent for what you need. It's just who's looking at that moment. So there is
May I say one other thing about that whole idea of indispensable key talent? When I use that term indispensable, I'm talking about indispensable from the perspective of being able to help your company grow and grow exponentially. So when I say that term indispensable, you need some people like that if you want to not only grow at 5 or 6 or 7% per year, but exponentially at maybe 20, 25, 30%. I'll give you an example of a company right now. I'm recruiting for a company called Milwaukee Tool. For the past decade, they have grown at double-digit numbers. For the past 3 or 4 or 5 years, at 20%, and last year at 25.8%. That is growth that companies would kill for. And one of the things that they have done, and one of the things that I'm doing for them now, is finding indispensable key talent that can help them continue that kind of growth and sustain that growth going forward. But you have to plan for it.
Yes, you do. You have to be very proactive. And proactive doesn't mean that you're out there necessarily aggressively looking. It means that you're aware of what's going on out there and you're building your relationships with people who have the air quotes here, the right stuff. The right stuff being what you need to, as Mark said, exponentially grow. Because that is the end of the story. So thanks, and glad that you're back. Yeah. I kept the conversation going for a little bit there.
I know. I just had to separate. I got one with me here in the den, and the other one's on the other side of the door.
Okay.
We're okay right now.
All right. So let me ask you this question, and then I have two more after that. How do you leverage your networking to find these professional rock stars?
Well, first of all, I practice connecting, networking, building community every day.
That's really important.
And during the pandemic, I had calls scheduled every day that was for half and half, groups of people as well as individuals. I knew that there would be an end to the pandemic. And so a lot of what I did was helping people who were in job search, helping people make connections. But that's part of it is that's why I say that if you're a company and you don't use someone like me, you have to have somebody that you can dedicate to it. It's not an HR person who is, 5% of their time is dedicated to talent management, talent acquisition, building relationships. It's got to be somebody who's dedicated to it. And then it's also taking the time to learn your marketplace. And for different types of people, what are the right rooms? And I use that term, the right rooms to get into. And so sometimes the right rooms are not what you might think they would be. For instance, many times people with a lot of talent, technical talent or sales talent, they might not be involved in a startup company or anything like that, but they may have interests in that type of thing. So many times those are the people that both for in-person events or virtual events or hybrid events that are oftentimes in the room for those events that are aimed at startups, that are aimed at scale-ups. It's the right kind of people. Plus, you also have people who are investors. You have private equity. Those are the kind of people. So what I always try to do from my perspective, but also when I introduce people, is to try to think about what are the right rooms for those people to be in? Because many times the event, so I'll talk about Startup Milwaukee. The event, when they have a regular event, there's usually three or four companies that might be new startups that are pitching their companies. I'm not necessarily there for the startups. The startups would never use my services. But in the room are the investors, are people right. of influence, are bankers, are private equity, are people who many times are hiring managers at other companies. And so I think about who are the people likely to be there in the room. Those are the people I want to connect with. And I don't try to connect with everybody, but I also don't try to just have a conversation with one person. I try to work that room and have a decent conversation with maybe 10 people. And out of that 10 people, there are three people who I'm going to follow up with within the next week. And that's what you're primarily doing. Now, I've actually liked this move to a lot of virtual meetings because I was able to do that much more quickly and more efficiently.
Right.
What we are going to see going forward is more blended hybrid type things where there are some people in person, some people that are going to be coming in, virtually. And so one of the things that you want to do is find ways to capture the information about who those people are that are either there in person or the people who are coming in virtually. And the reason I say that is if you're there and they're there and they are there, you have an affinity interest. And so most of the times when you're looking for affinity interests, it's people that may have the same industries or same interests from a technology perspective, an industry perspective, an industry vertical perspective. Could be marketing, could be retail, could be healthcare, whatever it is. The point is that you try to find those groups where there's affinity interests. And when I talked about intentionally growing a network, it's affinity relative to the kinds of people that you want to connect with. And many times if you go to an event, that won't be the likely person that will be the person you're seeking, but you're going to find people who are influential with the kind of people you're seeking to connect with. And so it is a process, and it's also why you need to do it on a regular basis. I do it every day. That's something that I do. Most people can't afford to do that because they also have a job. But that is my job. That is my job. That's why companies will come to me to do it, because I've been doing that for over 20 years. If I said the actual amount of years, then you'd just think I was old. So I just say over 20 years.
Okay. So I love this, because small business owners classically go into meeting people trying to get a transaction, right? They want the sale. And what better relationship building and what true salespeople will tell you is stop that. Build the relationship. You'll get the sale if you build the relationship and they're your ideal customer. So right. This is the same thing, just with a different focus of not stop it, but do it differently. Don't wait. Build the relationships now with potential employees, which we're calling indispensable key talent, because they are, regardless of where they are, and build that relationship now and stop looking at bringing the right people into your business as a transaction by putting stuff up on the boards. That's not where you find the best talent, most likely. And it's tends to be the fact that it's not where you find it when you need it. Right?
Exactly.
Okay. So let's play a different game here, Mark. Yeah. Because you're a connector and people want to get to know who you are. If you had to buy three gifts for yourself, one being $5, another $500, and the third gift, $5,000, what would you be buying?
And these are all gifts for myself.
Yes, you're buying to yourself for yourself.
Okay. Let's see. For $5, I guess I'll make it simple and I just go get myself coffee at Starbucks, because I'll never pay $5, but if someone was going to give it to me as a gift, then I'll buy one of their expensive frou-frou drinks.
Okay. I love that. Mine would be a watermelon. So I get what you're saying there, because I'm a plain coffee girl. Let's go on to the $500 range. Whoa, what are you going to bring into your world?
$500. I think $500, what I would really like is, see, I'm kind of an equipment sort of or technology sort of guy. So $500, I think what I would look for is a really, really, really good video camera that I can use for business purposes.
Okay, love it.
When I say really, really good, I know there are some that are more expensive than that, but for $500, I could do very well.
Yeah, you could get a nice piece of equipment. All right, now the bigger ticket.
$5,000, I would buy the best computer that I could get and all the peripherals that go with it. I would want a computer that is so fast that it operates in anticipation of what I need it to do. And I would want all the software on it to be voice activated.
Aha, there we go. Now you're talking 21st century. AI, voice activation.
Yep, everything, yep.
Beautiful. So I can do,
yep, a lot of it automatically and a lot of it voice to technology.
Beautiful. All right. So there you are. When you meet Mark, now you got a point of conversation. And if he hears you say any one of these three, he's going to know that you heard this episode. And I bet he'll pay really close attention to who you are if you do.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do a little bit of a shift here. We have had the honor of you joining this podcast and doing a mini episode series. This is your fifth episode, and it's your final episode for the moment, right?
Right.
And I think it might be really good for us to do a little wrap up of your mini series in your podcast, Mark. Perhaps some of the most important questions that small business owners would have from listening to you. Okay. So I'm going to ask you to put your thinking cap on, back to business one last time, because if you could wave the magic wand, what are the three things that an organization, doesn't matter what size it is, can do to start improving and growing their business by focusing on improving the level of key talent they have today?
Okay, so the first thing is to stop thinking of recruiting people in a transactional way. In other words, hiring them as you, or I should say, starting the process of finding a person when you need them.
Just in time, okay.
Just in time recruiting, and instead, you need to build a plan, and you have to work that plan and understand that that plan is going to change. So for instance, if a company put together a plan to do it 2 years ago, you know, when the pandemic came along, that would have changed some things relative to how they were going to go to the marketplace to meet and build relationships with people. And right. They maybe would have had to have waited a little longer. The second thing is, when it comes to people, finding people, building your business, is understanding that stuff happens and you have to react to it, but also, like a lot of things, that business is a living entity. So for instance, I talked to a candidate a week or so ago, and she said to me that, you know, she was talking to a company in February of 2020 about a position, and then the pandemic hit. And now that, you know, so then it was, you know, cricket. She never heard from the company again. And just recently, somebody from the company reached out and said, you know, we'd like to talk to you some more about that position we were talking about a year ago. And I said to her, I said, well, tell me, do you have an interest in that position you were in interviewing for a year ago? She said, no, I am such a different person. I am so much more of a professional, and I have really gotten good in some areas. And so my whole area that I'm looking for opportunities is different than it was a year ago. And the point there was, you can't assume that a year ago, that what you were doing, that you can just all of a sudden start today and pick up the pieces and start from where you were. Everything is different. Your business is different. Your particular business's marketplace is different. Everybody has learned how to do some things differently, some better, some not so well. But the point is, that position that you might have been hiring for a year ago, you better be looking for different capabilities and skill sets, because I can tell you this, I don't care what the position was, you need somebody who really understands how to deal with today's problems, which may have developed over the course of the last year. Because right. That's the only reason you hire somebody. That's the only reason you pay somebody $50,000, $75,000, $100,000, $120,000, $200,000, is because those particular people can solve particular problems you have and help you grow your business. Right? You
know, Mark,
well, and that same person a year ago, they're different.
What you just said is critical for everyone to understand. The only reason why you should hire somebody is because they can solve the headaches that you are having. If that's not why you're hiring them, then you probably shouldn't be hiring them.
Right. Then they're just a placeholder. And right. But again, what it goes back to is what you were just saying, is that you have to really understand what your problems are. Because many times we don't know what we don't know. We have blinders on. And sometimes it's, you know, you think you're looking for somebody who's in a job description. Job descriptions are always incomplete and they're always out of date within 2 hours of them being written. Because first of all, job descriptions are rarely written specifically by the hiring manager. Many times that most of that job description is spit out from an HRIS system. So in other words, there were templates in there and 90% of the job description was written. Well, that may or may not have some resemblance to your problems of today. So that's one of the problems right there. And then when you have a job description and you start interviewing some people, you're going to interview some bad people that were, or not bad people, but candidates that aren't really a fit because the description wasn't good.
Right.
Or you're going to talk to some really good people who might not be a great fit, but there are some things that you didn't have in that job description. And many times companies don't upgrade those or update those things. They just keep on operating with the same thing. It's one of the reasons I tell candidates the first thing out of the chute when you talk to a hiring manager is you got to find out, has a job description changed? What are the four or five things that are most important to you as a hiring manager that aren't on the job description? Because I can tell you the four or five things that are most important are never on the job description.
That's a fact all day long.
And so that's the kind of thing that you need to really understand. What are the kinds of problems you're looking for the person to solve so that you can bring those into conversation quickly?
Okay. So
that's what you need to know.
All right. So to help people today, it's about stop being transactional, stop doing that just-in-time recruiting. Stuff happens. Make sure you have a plan as you're moving forward with your people that you already have. And again, that can be in-house or an outsourced team. Those are your people that we're talking about. And then the third one is understand what's relevant and what you really need now, instead of just saying a whole bunch of gobbledygook because it sounds good. You get right. away from the generic, right? So, wow, this is great, Mark. Listeners, Mark broke down many of these topics that he shared today. This was sort of like a nice little wrap up of many things. You would want to go ahead and start at the beginning of his mini series with episode 159, then go to 166, 173, and then 185 is the last one that we did. Now we're going to add this one. And why I suggest you do that is what Mark said here will make even more sense to you if you understand some of the definitions and his approaches that he shared in great detail there. He made it like point blank easy for you, small business owner, to be able to do this yourself. You know,
oh, so, and buy the book.
Well, we're getting there. We're getting there. Okay. So hang tight. So small business owner, you know, your job is always to be selling. Right? I think everybody's starting to understand that now in the entrepreneurial and small business world, but it's also to be engaging with great talent because you don't know when you're going to need it. And in an ideal world, if you're out there enough, indispensable key talent, right? So I love this. So here's what we need to do to wrap this puppy up. Listeners, you can learn more and engage with our number one best-selling business author, Mark Bader. Start by reading chapter 2 in volume 4 of the book, Brilliant Breakthroughs for the Small Business Owner. And I want to remind you, that's the purple covered one that Mark is an author in, because they all have the same title. It's just the color is different. But at the end of Mark's chapter, he has an invitation for you on the bottom of his author's page. Mark, can you share with everybody what that is?
Well, a couple of things. Some tips, can provide you with some tips. I can also, I'm wide open to talk with you at any time at no charge to do a little bit of, get into a conversation with you and talk about maybe some of the problems that you are dealing with. There's no charge for that. And also sometimes, what I'll tell companies is that they're doing everything right, but it's a little bit of consulting and I have no problem spending a half hour, 40 minutes on the phone talking about these things because the world has changed and the world's going to continue to change. And if you want to be able to compete in your industry, it is going to be about finding the right people and sustaining an operation that goes parallel to your company, to finding people and continuing with that for as long as you're in business, because it is going to be about people. You've got a product, you've got a service, you're using technology, all those kinds of things, but it's going to be the people that make it all work. That's going to be what differentiates your business, but also dictates whether or not it's going to be successful or not. And if you ever want to have actual exponential growth, not just growth, but exponential growth, it's going to be all about the people.
All right. You heard it here, everyone. And Mark drops this all the time in all of his social media sites. So feel free to connect with him on those. We have them at the end of the chapter as well. And here's something that's really cool. Right now you can see everything about the book and how to get a hold of it and Mark Bader by going to the Books app. Go to your app store, type in Brilliant Biz Book, Brilliant Biz Book. And once you download that, we have a feature. It's called Ask an Expert. If you click on that, you'll see Mark Bader's name. Click there, type him a question, and he'll reply back to you. Pretty cool bonus, huh?
You can also check me out or get in touch with me through my website, which is one of the websites, but warhorseexecutivesearch.com. So again, Warhorse, WARHORSE, executivesearch.com.
Thank you, Mark. And we have that in our show notes. We have all these links in the show notes, including the episode numbers. So go there, check out our show notes, and connect with Mark. Mark, thanks for your wisdom sharing today.
You are very welcome, and thank you for giving me the platform for doing so.
Oh, you rock, you rock. And I'm glad that you are part of our platform because your topic is essential for people who are committed to growing their business. So thank you, Mark. Thank you.
You're welcome, Maggie.
And listeners, we appreciate you listening to the Brilliant Breakthroughs Business Podcast, where you learn about how to create more brilliant breakthroughs for your small business. Shine brightly until next week.